You're listening to the Grace and Truth Podcast. Today we continue our series of messages from Galatians chapter 5 on walking by the Spirit. This was taught at Oak Ridge Baptist Church in Marietta, Texas.
Every Sunday afternoon, unless there's something unusual that happens, I tend to be a creature of habit, so I do the same thing. So on Sunday afternoons, we're eating after church, so I don't get to be a creature of habit today. I'll sit down in my office, and the first thing I begin to do is to make a list of everything that I know I have to get done between Sunday after church and the next Sunday morning. And maybe y'all have this problem too. I get my list done on Sunday, and I think, man, this is great. It's going to be a good week. Everything's going smooth. And throughout the week, that list does what? Grows. One thing's added to it, two things added to it, three things added to it. And most of the time, by the time Sunday morning rolls around, guess what I have not completed? List. Now, we sit here and we read what Paul was writing to the church at Galatians. And he's talked to us about the things of the flesh that are evident and the things that are supposed to be put to death in us. And then he gets down to the things of the fruit of the Spirit that we are supposed to do. And it is as if he has a list that just when I think I can't handle any more that he wants to put on, he adds another one. So let's look at the insurmountable task that we have here so far. Let's look at the first three that we've looked at, the habits of the mind. First, the love, the self-giving service to one another. How many of you know that you could have loved people better this week than you did? Right? Okay. So, well, let's kind of squiggle line. Let's not put a check next to that one. Joy, the merriment and satisfaction in God and Christ that's not found in our circumstances, but in the person and work of Jesus Christ. How many of you could have been more joyful or more worshipful this week? Did anybody find themselves complaining about a task that God had given them that instead of complaining they should have rejoiced in? Anybody go grocery shopping this week? Okay. Well, there we go again. Let's not put a check next to that one. And then we get peace, this spiritual reconciliation that brings fullness and wholeness to every other aspect of our lives. How many of you had something that sent you on a roller coaster these past 7 days? Maybe your thoughts ran away with you. Maybe your thoughts were captivated by things they shouldn't have been captivated by. So maybe we didn't experience this 24/7 peace that God has in store for us. And if that wasn't enough, we looked last week at the way or attitudes or dispositions towards one another. We have this idea of patience. Anybody lose their patience this week? Looked how maybe patience isn't the best descriptive word we have for what Paul is trying to say here. We talked about being long-passioned or long-tempered instead of short-tempered, walking alongside one another. How many of you just lost your cool this week? Okay, so let's not check that one off the list either. So look, we're already short four, and we still have more things to go. It's like that list that keeps growing, and we get to where we're at today, knowing that the fruit is given by God, the Spirit provides the desire and the means. In fact, these things we're reading, they're not attributes, they're not attitudes that we can produce in and of ourselves or on our own. These are things that we can only show forth and bring forth to others with the person and work of Jesus Christ bringing redemption in our lives and then the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And the fact that we couldn't say, yeah, we got all four of those down pat this week shows that we're still a work in progress. Every single one of us. And it shows just our acknowledgement that we didn't do it well shows there's a battle within us. In fact, we understand what Paul meant when he said this in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. He said, "For I do not understand my own actions." Anybody agree with Paul? "For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." So we weren't very loving, we weren't very joyful or worshipful. We didn't have the peace that God desired us to have in Him and what He provides. And we were not patient or long-tempered with people this week. See, those four traits seem to be challenging enough, but Paul keeps adding to them. part of me wants to say, Paul, don't tell me another thing to do because you said, for I do not do what I want, but do the very thing I hate. But we understand as we read this, it is not Paul speaking. This is the authoritative word of God inspired by the Holy Spirit that comes to us through the pen of Paul. Therefore, what we understand is Paul is telling us, I know the standard to which God has called us, but understand I am in this struggle with you. So even our superhero Paul that we like to put on a pedestal struggled with these things. Therefore, when we read this, we are in good company with the human that penned it. This morning, if you brought your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 16. And as we read these, if you're able, I ask you to stand as we read God's Word. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Let's pray. Lord, we need your grace and your mercy as we struggle through these things, as we deal with the flesh. Thanks be to Jesus Christ, we have salvation from. So Lord, as we read the list of things of the flesh and we have looked to the things of the Spirit, we ask that in us you would do a work this morning, a work of conviction, a work of healing, a work of restoration. Lord, that you would conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. We thank you for our time and ask that it be used for your glory. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we looked at the first three and we categorized those first three as habits of the mind. They're the way we are to view things before action is produced. So when we talk about love being a habit, that self-giving sacrifice to one another, it's a mentality that we are meant to have, not necessarily something that our hands do just yet. Now, each one of these we look at, we understand that the world, through the influence of the prince of the power of the air, through the desires of the flesh, has warped the definition that God desires each one of these words to carry. So when we look at the word love, we understand that our culture defines it different than what Scripture does. When we look at the word joy, we understand that the world describes it and depicts it different than what Scripture does. And when we look at peace and patience, the same things occur. So when we get to this fifth word this morning that I read to you translated as kindness, some of you had it translated as gentleness, which really gets confusing because if you have it translated as gentleness and you read what I was reading, gentleness happens later on. We just have to get over that. Set aside the confusion, hold on, and we'll get to that word, gentleness, in a minute. But this morning we want to look at this trait, this extension. If the others, first three were states of mind, and patience was this passive thing we did by withholding what people deserved and just standing alongside them, we learned this morning that kindness is active. It's something that's shown. It's something that's displayed through works, how we carry ourselves, how we interact with each other. It does not mean that we are sweet and timid and stand without certainty. Instead, it's something that we can understand as we look through the way God showed kindness to us. So we want to take this word and we want to look at it from beginning to end, to see what attribute how in our actions with others we're supposed to emulate, we're supposed to be examples of God in Christ, not just to each other that make up this body, but to the world around us. I dare say this morning that God has more patience with the lost world than you do. And that ought not be so. God has more patience with the lost world than we do. In fact, I could even step one more, as if I wasn't approaching the edge close enough at this point, and say, God has more patience with you than you do with each other as well. So let's look at this. And let's dig in. What is this kindness? And you're going to have to forgive me. I did not write all these out in my notes because I trusted too much on technology. And that TV, in East Texas terms, it ain't on. So I'm going to have to turn to read some of these things this morning. Now, that shows my own ignorance and my own lack of kindness and patience, because when Amy read, I thought, why is she turning around and looking at her shoulder? It's because it's not up there. Okay. That being said, we understand from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading in verse 4 that kindness is something that God has set forth and models for us. There's the man with the remote. He's going to bail me out. Yet, we were about to test my Bible drill skills, flipping back and forth to the scriptures that I had referenced here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Remember, we're looking at the model of kindness that Scripture says God has shown towards us. And when I say towards us, I want you to have the mentality, this is the kindness that God has shown towards me. Get rid of everybody else in your mind at this point. This is the kindness that God has shown to you. Right, listen, so many times we listen to this and we think about everybody else. This isn't about everybody else this morning. This is about you and your Maker and your Savior. What is the kindness that God has shown me? Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Did you catch that? The kindness that God shows to us is demonstrated in no greater place than the saving work of Jesus Christ. You have been given all the kindness that you need if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The kindness you need because your sins have separated you from the glory of God, from God's standard, from the things He desires, the things He wants for you. See, it's an act of gracious gentleness. Because think of it this way. If you were going to atone for your sins, do you think it would be described in a gentle manner? Think of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Is any part of that, would we describe the lashings? Would we describe the thorns? Would we describe what the mocking? Would we describe any of that as gentle? No. But the fact that Jesus Christ bore that on our behalf is an act of kindness, an act of gentleness towards us. Because instead of giving us what we deserve, He got what we deserve. In Jesus Christ, you have a storehouse of kindness that God has shown to you. It was withholding what we deserve. When we go into Titus... Two strikes, you're out, I guess. I don't know. We go to Titus chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. It says this, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another." That doesn't sound like a good life, does it? It says, "But when the goodness and the what? the loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared. Verse 5 starts out with these three words: He saved us. What was the kindness that God showed us? Even though we deserved death, even though we deserved Him from the moment of Genesis 3, wiping out mankind, He showed kindness, or lasting kindness, to us by withholding our punishment, but more importantly, in an active way, giving Jesus Christ to us as a Savior. We understand the foreshadowing of this from Genesis chapter 3. What happens in Genesis chapter 3? They eat the fruit, right? What was the punishment that they were supposed to have in Genesis chapter 3? Death. And I want you to understand the extent of kindness and the active work of kindness. You understand this morning that your sin warrants your death, your eternal separation from God the Father. The sins that you have committed mean you deserve eternal hell, facing the eternal wrath of God. That's what Adam and Eve deserved. That's what Moses deserved. That's what I deserve. That's what you deserve. But this says, in loving kindness, God saved us. Genesis chapter 3, they've sinned. Immediately, God walks through the garden. And what are they doing? They're hiding. And they're hiding because they say, we were naked. All right? Now, it seems funny to me, the person that made them, they'd hide because they're naked. I mean, think of a toddler. It takes everything to keep clothes on them. They're hiding. They are filled with shame. They know what they have done. But God does not say, I know what you did. Goodbye. He says, where are you? What happened? Who told you you were naked? And even after they passed the blame on to one another, instead of being unkind, instead of being short, instead of being quick-tempered, God says, look, there's consequences for what you have done. And in Genesis chapter 3, instead of giving Adam and Eve what they deserve, understand, He didn't just withhold. He made garments of Himself to clothe them. It wasn't just that He withheld something. In an act of kindness, He clothed them to cover their shame. Instead of giving us what we deserve, in God's loving kindness, He saved us by clothing, not just covering our shame, but removing it from us through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the model of God's kindness, the kindness that we see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, that we understand in fully from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 7. See, it's not just a forbearing or a holding back of what we deserve. It's an activity, a gracious giving of gentleness. When we look at this word kindness, we're talking about a gracious giving of gentleness. How many of you lost your temper this week or were shorter than you should have been? And instead of giving gentleness or being gracious or giving, we had the attitude that you're going to get what you deserve. Get over here right now. Moms and dads tend to put it in a different manner. Instead of acting kind, they say something to the extent of, I brought you into this world. You unkind people. Kids, do not use that against your parents this week. Kids, do not use that against your father this week. See, it's an activity that we extend to each other because God has extended it to us. There is no extent that we can reach in kindness that God hasn't gone beyond when it comes to us. We cannot reach in kindness further than God had to reach to save us from the punishment that we deserve, the sin that we all have. So what do we see? Let's look at Scripture. We're going to go through the Pauline epistles real quick to see what this looks like. So we know God displays it. He displayed it in the cross. But listen, there's no way we're going to be crucified for one another, right? So what does this look like as we interact with each other and we interact with the world? The first thing is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Did it get up there? No. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You're testing my Bible drill skills, so give me a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. 2 Corinthians 6, 3 through 6. It says, "We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance in affliction, hardships, calamity, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, but purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truth of speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the righteous hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as imposters and yet are true." What is he saying? Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And he said, the kindness was seen in the fact that we did not want to be an obstacle to the grace that God has given you. So we endured beatings. One of the amazing things is that Paul couples the acts of patience and the act of kindness with his sufferings and his beatings and his persecution. Now, understand what that means to the effort we are to extend kindness to one another. So much so that we would view kindness just as important as martyrdom, just as important as suffering for the sake of the gospel. Listen, we have an attitude or a mentality in the church that we are willing to die for Christ when most of the time we're not willing to live for Him day to day. We look at the martyrdom of those and we lift them up as idols, and we'd like to think in our minds, if push came to shove and I was backed into a corner, I would die for Christ. And we rest in that as if it puffs our chest up and gives us some kind of pride. But when it comes to showing kindness to one another, it's harder to live for Christ than it is to die for Him most of the time. It was the struggle that Paul faced. He knew to live is Christ and to die is gain. He knew the struggles. We read from Romans chapter 7 that the flesh and the spirit within him were at odds with each other. Our desire to not be an obstacle to the grace and faith of each other is an act of kindness. The second thing we learn is from Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. All right. "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts." Here's that word again. Kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. We get this list, but understand that kindness here in verse 12 of chapter 3 is put up against the outward manifestations that are read in verse 8. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. See, kindness influences and changes our speech to each other, malice, anger, slander, and about each other. Listen to me. When we find ourselves caught up in slander as we speak to one another, we are not exercising kindness. Kindness is not something that you just do to the person when they are in front of you. It has to deal with, it includes how you uphold that person as you speak to others as well. Your mama used to say, if you don't have anything nice, then I'll tell you what, that ought to make us choke on our tongue. Why? Because the kindness is demonstrated not only how we speak to one another, but how we speak about each other. And in Colossians chapter 3, this is coupled with the act of forgiveness. Meaning it's coupled with the act of healing and withholding what people deserve, no matter the wounds they afflict on us. Why? Because we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. All right, we got two hits. Verses 6 and 7. "Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles. Verse 7 says this, but we were gentle, and this is that word kindness. Remember I told you interchangeable. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. Exercising kindness means we are selfless. Our life is not about us. It is about the glory of God. And God has made very clear that His glory is displayed in the way we act and talk to His fellow image bearers, the things we do for them. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, I had a right as an apostle to make demands of you. I could have said, feed me, and you would have had to feed me. I could have said, clothe me, and you would have had to bring those things to me. I could have said, make sure that you supply all my needs, and you had an obligation through the testimony of Scripture to do so. But instead of doing that in kindness, in gentleness, in selflessness, I treated you as a mother would an infant. Instead of making demands of you, I served you. Instead of having expectations of you, I helped you reach those milestones and attain those goals by not only modeling it for you, but speaking the truth to you and then helping you as you struggled through. Kindness, when it is thought of as our desire not to be an obstacle of grace, as we see it manifest itself in our speech to and about others, and we act selflessly, they ought to strike that word from the dictionary. Selflessly, we understand that when we do these things, it is a gracious giving of gentleness because it is what God gave us in Jesus Christ. Listen, do you think God, thanks to the blood of Jesus Christ, speaks ill of you? Not at all. You are His child. Do you think God desires the worst for you? Not at all. Every good and perfect gift is from the Father above. Even if you are unsaved and do not know Jesus Christ this morning as your Lord and Savior, God is showing kindness to you in the fact that you are sitting here breathing. If that is the case, then why are we not willing to extend that to others as a mark of the fruit of God working in our lives through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ? This was the struggle that we see taking place in Micah. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, the prophet says, He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? He says, what does God desire of you? He says, but to love kindness. How many of you would have to admit that we have loved everything except kindness when it comes to certain people this week? Or when it comes to certain activities? We haven't desired, we haven't loved, we haven't vested our affection in kindness. We've vested it in malice and anger and wrath and being short-tempered. We have done everything but act kindly. God desires that in us. And He was telling the nation of Israel, look, you go to church, great. Now how about you get kindness right? Now how about you get justice right by standing on the truth of my word and what it says? Quit going through the motions. Quit offering sacrifices that are absolutely worthless until you understand there is a heart that I desire to put in you. And thanks be to God, on this side of the cross, He has done that through Jesus Christ. To love and desire kindness, which also means that our kindness and our actions are not dependent on the actions of others. God doesn't say, it's okay to be unkind. I see what that person does when they're alone. Or I saw the way they treated you. I saw the way they acted to you. No, because the truth is, they can never treat us worse than we have treated God. And if God can still exercise kindness, though we sin against His holiness and His truth, then how dare we not exercise kindness when people wrong us? Matthew, Jesus puts it this way. Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 and 36. And this is one of those that shows us the goodness of God and kind of wrenches our hearts when we think about it. For I was hungry and you gave me food. Anybody ever needed food in here? Who does food come from? And don't say Pruitts. Who does it come from? God. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. He's given us an abundant amount of water right now. Okay. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. I was naked and you clothed me. Thank the Lord for clothes. I was sick and you visited me. Listen, doctors can prescribe all the medicine they want, but we ought to have learned by now, unless God heals, you don't get healed. I was in prison and you came to me. The entire point of chapter 5, Christ has set us free from the burdens of sin. The punishment and the bondage of sin, everything we experience is because of God's kindness in our lives. Because of His gracious giving of gentleness and how He interacts with us and how He carries us even when we seem to curse His name by our actions. He models it towards us every day, every second, every breath. His kindness has been extended to us beyond what we could ever imagine. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to know, though, that this is the closest you will ever get to experiencing His gracious giving of gentleness. Because there will come a day when His kindness runs out in your life. And without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will face His eternal wrath, and rightly so, because He is holy, He is just, and He is right. But for those of you in Christ Jesus, this world is as close to that hell as you're ever going to experience. And there is coming a day when His gracious giving of gentleness will overflow, and tears are no more, sorrow is no more, sickness is no more. But until then, you are called to be a messenger of that kindness. So the question this morning, if you are not a believer, is do you know the loving kindness of God demonstrated to you through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? If you do, then these are your questions. Are you graciously giving gentleness in your words? Are you graciously giving gentleness in your actions? And are you graciously giving gentleness through the forgiveness that you are granting to other people even when they don't ask for it? Because that is what you have been called to do. We have been given enough kindness to never be able to outgive what we've been given. In Jesus Christ, you have an eternal, infinite abundance of kindness that I promise you, you will never be able to give till the well runs dry. That's why at the end, Paul writes, against such thing, there is no law. There is no restriction. Do so in abundance. So this morning, the challenge is, as God has dealt kindly, graciously giving gentleness to you, do so to one another. As God still offers grace or gentleness and kindness to the lost world, as His messengers, as His ambassadors and ministers of reconciliation, do to the world that they would know when you speak of the gift of Jesus Christ that it is something they can place their entire faith and hope in.
Thank you for listening to the Grace and Truth Podcast. You can follow Grace and Truth on Facebook and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. You can also visit the blog at chascarlisle.com. That's chascarlisle.com. Our prayer is that your mind has been engaged and your heart has been encouraged by the truth of God's Word.